President Bush has signed corporate reform legislation that provides greater oversight of the accounting industry and longer prison sentences for those found guilty of fraud. The president said the new law was needed to restore investor confidence.
This new law sends very clear messages that all concerned must heed. This law says to every dishonest corporate leader, you will be exposed and punished. The era of low standards and false profits is over. No boardroom in America is above or beyond the law.
Last week, a newly created task force announced the arrest and indictment of Adelphia CEO John Regas. Meanwhile, federal prosecutors in New York are reportedly planning to bring charges against two former WorldCom executives and are considering whether to bring criminal charges against the company as well. Eric Holder is former deputy attorney general in the Clinton administration. 3 years ago, he set out guidelines for prosecutors planning to indict a corporation.
Traditionally, prosecutors had gone after individuals and not focused necessarily as much as we would have wanted on indicting corporations. We thought that you could send signals, important symbolic signals and substantive signals, if you indicted corporations. But when doing so, we wanted to make sure that standards were being applied and that there was some kind of uniformity throughout the federal system.
Now, Arthur Andersen has been indicted as a company. What factors should be considered when deciding to indict a company? Give us some examples.
Well, you certainly want to consider the nature of the conduct. Is this the kind of conduct that is really central to the business? In 1999, or I guess in 2000, we indicted Mitsubishi for price fixing. And the price fixing was related to that which Mitsubishi did in dealing with steel. I think the case is a little closer when, for instance, you're dealing with Arthur Andersen, where you're talking about individuals who are destroying documents, not really part of the core function of the corporation. The question then becomes, was this something that was widespread? Was knowledge of it widespread? Was it condoned by people in the corporation? You have to also consider what is the history of the corporation. One of the factors that I think weighed heavily in favor of the Andersen indictment was the fact that it was a recidivist corporation. It had problems in its interaction with waste management some years before. So there are a variety of things that you have to take into account when you're deciding whether or not you're going to indict a corporation.
Well, just using the Arthur Andersen example, is your issue with that indictment that they indicted on the whole question of destroying documents? Would a better indictment have focused on Arthur Andersen's accounting practices, which of course are, or some version of fraud possible, which of course is its core business?
Yeah, that would have been a better indictment. Now, the question, of course, is can you come up with the proof in order to come up with an indictment that would survive challenge and be one that would convince a jury to convict the corporation? Yeah, but, I mean, technically, that would be a better indictment because it goes more to the core of what the corporation does.
What is the benefit of indicting the company along with company officials?
Well, you hold responsible a corporation when a corporation has, as a matter of business decision, decided that it's going to conduct itself in a certain way. You send a message to the rest of the industry so that you have change, hopefully not only in that corporation, but within the industry itself. In the Mitsubishi case, we got a number of other pleas from corporations, and we think if you look at that part of the industry that they probably changed their practices. So that's a way in which you can have a really systemic effect by indicting a corporation.
What is the downside to punishing a corporation?
That's one of the things we really wanted to stress as well in that memorandum, that they had to consider, prosecutors had to consider collateral consequences. Well, you have individuals at the head of a corporation who are doing things that are inappropriate and you indict the corporation, you will therefore punish innocent employees, you will punish innocent shareholders. Those are the things that have to be taken into account. It's one of the things that concerns me about the Andersen indictment, where you have individuals who obviously were engaged in inappropriate conduct, and you are punishing by indicting the corporation employees who really did not engage in that conduct, people whose reputations have now been scarred by their association with an indicted corporation.
Give an example of an indictment that didn't go forward or wouldn't go forward because of harm to others not involved in the problem.
Well, one of the concerns I have now is with regard to the WorldCom situation, where press reports have indicated that the culpable individuals are soon to be indicted. The collateral consequences of indicting WorldCom, I think, are pretty substantial. This is a company that is in bankruptcy. If it were to be indicted, it would not be able to get government contracts and might affect its ability to come out of bankruptcy and pay off shareholders and obviously have a negative impact on the employees of the corporation.
You touch in your memo also on the attorney-client privilege. How does that get bound up in all of this?
Well, one of the things that we wanted to take into consideration was whether or not the corporation would waive the attorney-client privilege. And if a corporation decided to do that, to essentially give them a plus-up, that would be something that would be weighed in their favor. By waiving the attorney-client privilege and making available to the government documents and people, you would be able to allow the government to better develop cases. They wouldn't be able to hide behind the attorney-client privilege in any internal investigations that a corporation had done with its attorneys. By divulging that information, it makes cases much easier to make for the government.
How did the corporations react to your memo at the time, back in 1999? And are their CEOs and boards more supportive of it now than they were when you first wrote it?
I think it's gotten a mixed reaction. I think that when it came out, I think corporations probably didn't think it was the best idea in the world because we were trying to force prosecutors to consider indicting corporations. Now I think in some ways it's being used as a shield where corporations are now under greater scrutiny and are holding up the memorandum and saying, well, you know, if you apply these factors, we should not be indicted as a corporation. So I think the reaction to it has been mixed.
Eric Holder is a former Deputy U.S. Attorney General and author of the Holder Memo, which details how to deal with corporate crime. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Eric Holder is now a partner in the Washington, D.C. law firm Covington & Burling. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.